This week on RSBNB Update, the activity pets are here. Richie, Mune, Artemis, and Zez. What are our favorites and which is easiest to get? The Ninja Team turns one and the Ninja Mutant Turtles reminisce on 1 year of strikes. Plus, we talk about why community is always number one. This is RSBNB Update, episode 815, recorded Thursday, February 4th, 2021. Ninja Activities. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update this week. It's just Tannis and myself in. You know, we gotta have a little bit of quiet time sometime, a little bit of time for us to just sit back and talk about the update of the week. And, you know, nothing too strenuous this week. It's not like it's a quest week or a mini quest week, as we've already had two of those this year. Two of them. We'll talk about why I use that inflection in just a moment. But welcome back, Tannis.
Thank you, Shane. Nice to have a little, I don't really want to call it a break, because we got some good stuff.
Yeah,
this
it's a pretty heavy week, and you know, looking back, you'd think that in the past these weeks would have been, you know, the kind of, you know, hell, it's just a patch week. But I don't think we've had one of those weeks yet in 2021. But it just speaks to the stride that we're in.
Absolutely, and I mean, anytime, you know, we weren't sure how it was going to go. What, a year ago, when the ninjas came back and started doing these ninja strikes, but they've really became integral part of kind of the update cycle, and they feel like real updates. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I can't say that they just, I don't know. They, and I think it's because of the quality of life. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, man, so you can tell I'm excited about the ninja stuff.
Yeah, the anniversary of the ninjas. We also got activity pets this week. A bit of feedback following from last week's oddments fiasco, and a lot more. And, you know, we're going to do this show, and if you want to follow along, we have show notes at update.rsbnb.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can check out at patreon.com/rsbnb. And, you know, these are the activity pets that have come out this week. These are four activity pets that have been on the docket since, I think it was the summer of 2019 is when the design process started. I know we talked to Mod Osborne about that on our Mod Osborne special. And, you know, this was a case of Jagex working with a third-party studio to bring these pets to life through their models. And then, of course, they put them in the game. And, you know, here we are, cold week in February. Very cold.
Very cold.
Yeah, it's going down to minus 36 Celsius this Sunday. And
okay.
And you know, for those unaware, the Fahrenheit and Celsius conversion meet up at minus 40. So.
Well, but what's that in polar bear hides there, Shane?
Oh, I have no idea.
For the Canadian.
I have no idea. But we also, you know, with this perfect time to cuddle up with your activity pets. First up, we have Richie, which is a magpie named after Richie Rich. Of course, you need to to get the pet to follow you. You need to help him accumulate 100 million GP, and when you reach that, he'll start following you around. And as you give him more GP, he will change appearance. And you can find Richie right now at the Grand Exchange. Four appearances in total. Unlocked at 100 million, a billion, 5 billion, and 10 billion GP. And after 10 billion, they say you can continue to hand over cash for bragging rights.
You know, I like it. It's like, I like the design. Like, it actually came out. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, okay, yeah.
You don't have a little bit too rich for your blood?
Well, I'm just yeah, a little too rich for my blood, that's for sure. That's for sure.
It's going to be really interesting, you know, next time we have a data stream, to see how much money was actually given to Richie.
Oh. Yeah, that's gonna be something. It's gonna be a lot.
Because you know, there's lots of people out there who are gonna have maxed this within 15 minutes of logging 10 billion, right?
Oh, so. Well, and that's nothing for people.
Exactly.
I mean, people with money, it's nothing.
And you know, people always say,
or so I'm told. I mean, I hear a lot of whining that there's a lot of inflation. So I mean, maybe it's easy.
Honestly, I don't think the inflation is that bad compared to how it's been in the past. You know, if you go back to some of the earlier eras, like 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I go back to the last data stream where that was addressed, and it was like nothing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. Richie's a little bit too rich for my blood.
Well, it's just because I can, like, I'm still at a point in the game where 100 mil or 5 mil or 10 mil, I could do some serious things.
Yeah, like, some serious skill training with that.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You know, some nice gear if you're into that kind of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Next one up is Moon, M-U-N-E. I think I'm saying that right. Is that how you'd say that? Moon, M-U-N-E?
See, that's what I thought, but I'm like, is it really Moon? I think it is.
So, this pet has a number of forms that it can have, and it changes based upon the region. If you spot Moon in an ice area, it will have a certain look, or a desert area, or a forested woodland, or the wilderness, or a swamp region as well. And, you know, there's various adornments and whatnot that are put onto this pet in its various different phases. This one was designed by RSN Susie, was the name. And I should say that the last pet... who was that one designed by? That one was designed by Carrie Chibi. Got to remember that these are all player designed, of course. But going to Moon, the way this one works, it's actually really interesting. When, you know, in some ways, this is the most accessible pet that there is out there, because in order to unlock the desert variant, you have to spot Moon on Monday in the desert area, but the requirement is that you have had to have completed the desert elite tasks.
Oh.
On Tuesday, you can spot Moon in the forest area, and the requirement for this one is completing the Terranin elite tasks. On Wednesday, you can spot Moon in the ice areas, and for this one, you need to have completed the Fremenic elite tasks.
Okay.
Thursday, swamp. Mauritania elite tasks. Friday, wilderness elite tasks. And that's where we're at today. Tons of people running around the wilderness. lots of people getting PK'd and ice blasted by the various areas where all the pets were hanging out as well. I got the Moon.
If you're going to do it naked.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy.
I went to a very busy world and spotted it. Just north of the King Black Dragon entrance, and you know, that was that. And you know, did you
streak, Shane?
Yes,
streak
I did.
Streak right through the wilderness.
And that was my next point, is that you don't need any specific items to do this, so you can just go straight in with no items and have zero risk associated.
There you go. Well, I am not in good shape when it comes to the desert or Mauritania.
No, same here.
Those are both rough.
Same here. On Saturday and Friday, or Saturdays and Sundays, rather, it will spawn in random environments, and it'll be dependent on the requirements are dependent on the same requirements that we've just laid out. It says Moon will roam Gilinor every 2 to 4 hours and will wander about for 30 minutes before leaving.
See, I feel like that's the most substantial pet. Like, this one's...
Yeah, it looks really,
most, like,
really
it feels
neat.
Like an achievement, though, because it's locked behind actual stuff, like real stuff. I mean, not that money isn't, but you know what I mean. Like, the thing with that is once you get a pile, it's really easy to make that a huge pile in this game. It's getting a pile that's the hard part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And... You know, we can actually have a look at Moon right now, because I do have the wilderness.
Yeah, I mean, elite
around.
Task. That's no joke. Like,
no, it's not. it's not. And, you know, here we have it. I don't know if this is in its wilderness form right now. I don't know how to make it in its wilderness form. Maybe that's in the customization options here with this. Ah, yes, you can. There's a little set of buttons on the side that you can click to change its appearance. That's pretty neat. And if we accept that and we see what the wilderness one looks like, and there we have it. And I'm showing this off on the video version, but, you know, if you want to see what this looks like, there's some concept artwork as well linked in the news post for this, which can also be found in our show notes. So I don't know. I think out of all of them, my favorite is either the ice one or probably the forced one, honestly. You know, this might actually be a kick in the pants for me to go and complete the Terran and Elite tasks. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I got those because you don't have your quiver?
No.
Oh, man.
No, it's something I never really, you know, felt the need for.
But you could get 2 crystal acorns a day.
I'm already 120.
Oh,
right.
Well.
And I mean, hey, if I ever decide to go for 200 mil, that might be a nice thing to add on to it. But
well, I mean, good potions to have.
Yeah. And I think the reason I like the forested one is just because it's got the greenness associated. It's also got a Guthixian butterfly riding on its back. Overall, I think this is a very, very nice pet and one of the most accessible ones that there is to get.
Can't figure out, though, like, is it, like, a deer, dog, goat? Or...
It's a mysterious creature.
Okay.
It's a mysterious creature.
Okay.
Next up, we have Artemis the Clue Scroll pet. Or the Compass Reindeer, rather. Or Compass Deer, not Compass Reindeer.
It's a stag.
Okay. Never heard it called that. Whenever you complete...
Never heard a deer called a stag?
No.
For real?
No.
Huh.
Which is weird, you know, given our past discussions that we've had and whatnot, right? About that?
Yeah, right.
But this one can be found when you open caskets and complete clue steps. And when you do that, you have a chance to find the golden compass, and activating it will unlock Artemis.
And this is my favorite out of all the pets. Like,
and it's locked behind RNG and clue scrolls.
Yeah. It's even got the coolest, like, artifact of the coolest, like, item, you know, like the golden compass. Like, that's like the coolest item.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the coolest, and it's locked behind the one thing in this game that I don't do.
Well, I mean...
Maybe I'll have to try.
Yeah, to try. They're not that bad once you get the full outfit. And even then,
yeah,
you know,
well,
you could just do easies and... With that, you know, I'm assuming that it's just, you know, for every time you open a casket,
chance,
you open
right?
Or you complete a step, you're going to get the same chance, whether or not it's easy, medium, hard, elite, or master. And, you know, we'll have to get some clarification on that, but that's going to be a fun one. And then finally, we have Zez, the rune score pet, and this one unlocks at 5,000 rune score with new appearances at 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, and 25,000 rune score, of course, named after Zezima.
Oh, is that the deal? Because they're like, oh, yeah. That might look like someone. And you know who I thought it looked like?
Who?
It was like that Marvin the Martian guy, you know, from like... That's who I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
I hope you don't get in trouble, Jackass. Okay. Seems cheeky, something they'd do, but
yeah. Of course, I don't have 15,000 rune score yet, so I don't have the rune variant. 15,000 rune score is the Addy variant. 20,000 is the rune variant, and then 25,000 is or I don't know. That's weird. I'm seeing the exact same visual in game when I toggle the visual between the 20,000 and the 5,000 variant in armor, and the only thing that changes is the banner. I wonder if that's how it's supposed to be.
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe. But, you know, even then, the 10,000 one is nice because it's one of those old classic pieces of adamant armor with a 10,000 rune score pet. And, you know, that really harkens it back when you can have something that's add your rune following you around, because I mean, yeah, sure, you can use a cosmetic override and whatnot, but it's just nice to see, just nice to see this kind of thing come back in that way. So I don't know, which one's your favorite out of the bunch?
My favorite one out of the bunch is the one that I'll probably never have, which was
the clue scroll one.
Oh, the clue scroll one. Oh, for sure. That's my favorite pet out of this bunch. I mean, look at it. Like, it just, it's like, I really could take or leave just about any of the pets. Like I told you in pre-show, I'm like, you know, it's the first time I'm not even really that excited about pets. And normally, you know, I love a good pet.
Yeah. But,
Artemis, that one, I mean, don't tell Jagex, but I'd probably pay for it. I probably would have bought it.
Yeah, and I mean, based on the reaction of these, who knows? They might do something like that when they have a storefront to do this thing in the future.
Yeah.
So overall, I think this went over pretty well. I personally don't have any complaints with this. I think we need to see more updates like this, you know, just the, you know, little updates that come out that kind of enrich the game in its own unique way, but necessarily aren't, you know, need to be the biggest and best of things, so to speak. So,
well, I'm taking this as an optimistic sign because pretty sure I was under the understanding that these pets were going to come out at a time when there was a, you know, when there was a hole, kind of, when they needed something to kind of fill in an area.
Right.
But
it doesn't feel like that this week, does it?
No. So does that mean we got good things to come?
Well, I know we got a quest on the way next week.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Maybe there's some things we don't know.
Maybe there is. But fingers crossed, like you said, that this doesn't mean anything else. All right, next up, Turtle Combat. We actually got a little mini quest this week to coincide with the Ninjaversary. They're calling it 1 year ago. They've actually brought the ninja team back.
But is it a mini quest?
Yes, this is a mini quest.
This one is, you consider this one, you're giving the check to. You're saying,
yeah,
you are officially a mini quest
because it's a fetch quest.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you done it?
No.
Okay. Well, effectively what happens with this is that you have a bunch of turtles, and the ninja team wanted to, you know, effectively make light of everything that they've done over the past year. And as a result of that, they just, you know, put together a mini quest with a number of different references for each of the kind of ninja strikes that they did. And the whole idea behind this was just, you know, just make kind of a fun little mini quest that, you know, would give players something to do and kind of, you know, reminisce about what happened with the past and the ninja team. So the quest is called Turtle Combat, and what happens is that you talk to Posty Pizza, and this is where it starts to get rather amusing, by the entrance to the Varrock sewers. And, you know, he's been contracted by a bunch of turtles to deliver a pizza, but, you know, being a with the Posty Pete skull, he doesn't want to go down there. So you go down there and you find a number of turtles that are sitting in the sewer, and, you know, they've They're trying to.
Are they Ninja Turtles?
No.
Oh.
No.
That would have been awesome. They missed an opportunity.
No.
And are you sure they're not Ninja Turtles? That would have been great.
Yeah. So they were, you know, in the Ark, as they do, and they were there and then teleported away with a mishap of the trap telekinesis spell. They moved through the abyss and then wound up at the end of their adventure in the Vrock sewer, and now they're trying to figure out how to fight back because, you know, they've gained sentience with this, and they want to develop their agility and speed as well as arm themselves up. And that's what the whole quest is going to be. So the first thing you need to do is you need to improve their agility. And in doing so, you effectively build a number of little micro agility obstacles, which take the form of what effectively amounts to almost a construction contract. You have to build a training dummy, a climbing net, a rope swing, and a balance beam. And, you know, this is done with planks, nails, a few buckets of sand, a sack, and some rope. And this is the first segment of this mini quest. And, you know, if you don't want to use the Grand Exchange, you're going to spend more time for this quest running around picking up items than you actually are, you know, going to be building things in the quest. Now, part two is to increase their speed. And to increase their speed, they realize that with their little travel through the abyss, they think that, oh, maybe this abyssal energy that we used could be harvested. And for this... Sorry, go ahead.
So it's like the ooze.
Yeah. And they want to make some teleportation tablets and, you know, use that to actually just kind of have them jump around, teleport, you know. And what they wind up doing with this is, you know, you take your teleportation tablet ingredients, so some law runes, some soft clay, and, you know, they wanted something to calibrate it with, something that was like a turtle, something similar in weight. And do you know what that is?
You?
No.
No, not you.
It's a very plump rabbit. From your player on farm.
Oh.
Yeah. So you take a elder common brown rabbit, and you need to feed it some extremely dense honeycomb, because dense honeycomb was supposed to be the thing that would increase the weight of farm animals. It goes towards that stat that really serves no purpose on all your animals. And this is, of course, harkening back to the player on farm Ninja Strike. And you combine in your inventory a dense honeycomb and a kebab, and then you have a very, very fun piece of dialogue with Granny Potterington at this point. And I'm just pulling this up here. So when you get back to the farm and you have both the kebab and the dense honeycomb, you talk to Granny Potterington, and, you know, this is in character, and every time I see Granny Potterington, I can't help but think of Maud Raven in terms of the way the discussion goes with this. So
don't we all?
When talking about turtle combat, you say you have your items right here, and then Granny grabs the items, and with surprising swiftness, it effectively, hang on, I just moved my screen for a second, but, you know, what ultimately happens is that you wind up with a very plump rabbit, and you think that this rabbit is just going to continue to eat until it's going to explode, but it just eats until you wind up with a plump rabbit. And I actually got the dialogue here right now, and this is perhaps this is the part of the quest that I found the most enjoyable with this. With a surprising swiftness, conceals both the honeycomb and the kebab behind her basket, and then lo and behold, a few dots later, you have a extra dense honeycomb, and then the rabbit starts to chew it, and you get concerned if the rabbit is actually going to explode or whatnot. And, you know, this was definitely the funniest part of the quest for me, probably because of just the Granny Potterington scene. But then you use that when you go back, and you use that to calibrate the teleport calibrated to what the turtles weigh. And, you know, there's a bit of an unfortunate accident with this, as one of the turtles actually disappears. And you said that this is for science. So it's just, It's just absolutely amusing when you see that. And, you know, I appreciate them doing these kind of quests, because these are things we haven't had for a long time, and everybody has always said that they wanted to have. And I'm glad that these are back, even if they're, you know, just in the form of a mini quest. And I think the directive that was probably given was that, you know, if you can think of a quest that can be done as a mini quest, or maybe we could have some sort of quest in along with these updates, that should definitely be done with 2021. And the fact we've had 3 mini quests so far this year, I think is a very encouraging sign. So I enjoyed this through and through, but we're not done yet. After the sacrifice, you have to arm the turtles. Yes, we're talking about armed turtles here with this. And you go talk to the mining and smithing guy at the Grand Exchange, who has all the prices. Hofuthend, I believe his name is. And, you know, he was supposed to have a shipment of weapons for these guys, but apparently the shipment was already picked up by someone else. So as a result of this, you just get what effectively is a bag of trash, but you manage to make some actual weapons out of it by just giving these items to the various turtles. One of them gets a dwarven army axe. Another one gets an old rake handle. Someone gets a mismatched set of cutlery. And then the other one gets a rabid chinchampa. And those are the weapons that they have.
And they should have gotten a katana and nunchucks.
Oh, that would have been fun.
And a sai. Yes!
Why didn't they do that for ninja?
I don't know! It would have been cool.
They could have went the katana, the nunchucks, the throwing star.
Yeah.
And then the old rake handle.
The old rake handle.
Yeah. That would have been better than these ones, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you think of when you think of ninja weaponry, right?
Especially ninja turtles.
Yeah. And then after that, there's a cutscene that shows the ninjas all getting ready to go. And then it is mini quest complete. And they actually mention a dojo that might be opening up soon. So there's little references towards that as well. And then, you know, you get some dialogue in the cutscene that you can't see, but your character is just describing. And, you know, with this mini quest, you get a construction lamp worth 10,000 XP, a farming lamp worth 1,000 XP, and a magic lamp of 1,000 XP as well. And
so you don't really get anything.
No, not really. But you also get a Ninja Turtle Hood cosmetic override.
Ninja Turtle Hood.
Yeah.
I almost want it just for the name Ninja Turtle Hood.
Right? And then with that, you can also, after that, you can see all the various weapons that your turtles have been equipped with. So all in all, you know, just a very fun little quick mini quest. Maybe about 20 minutes with all the fetching if you didn't have it in your game. But, you know, people were making copious amounts of money when this update launched on Monday because of the dense honeycomb. Because, you know, who keeps dense honeycomb around aside from a farmer, right?
I didn't even know anybody kept it around, so.
Right. And yeah. Dense honeycomb is from rosemary.
I don't even know where you'd get that.
You can buy rosemary from the farmer in Drainer or the farmer in Prif if you don't want to pickpocket it.
Oh. Yeah, that was probably expensive.
Then it spawns in the flower plot. And, you know, there's no reason for it to be expensive because it's available to everyone. So, but it did come down after the fact on that. But we also do have a Ninja Strike this week, which, of course, was the Total Combat mini quest and some general quality of life fixes, including broadcast displaying at what XP threshold or kill count skill or boss pet was obtained at. Just adding a little bit more insult to injury for people who get it post 200 mil.
But I mean, I like that.
Yeah, you know, I would have loved to have that for when I got my archaeology pet at like 6 million XP.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The Ceridoman Owl, Zamorak Hawk, and Guthix Raptor have been converted from object pets to interface pets. And if you own these godbirds, you will unlock them upon next login. Otherwise, they can be obtained by taking the egg from an incubator, and all three growth stages will become available on unlock. Now, people were there was a few people who were upset about this because apparently somebody had an entire collection of Zamorak Hawks in their player-owned house menagerie because you could have more than one before. Now, of course, you can only have one. So all their birds disappeared. Right. I mean, this is an update that helps the 99%.
Yeah.
And when you have the 1% who are the hoarders like that. And I use that in a very endearing term because, like you said last week, people collect beads in this game. So there was bound to be a person that collected Zamorak birds.
Yeah. I think it sucks. We really just need to get to where all of the pets are in the. They're trying to do that, right? Get all the pets in the interface like that.
Yeah.
Make them interface pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it. Sorry, bro. It's really.
And that's actually. About that. And that's the next one. The ninjas are wrangling even more object pets, so keep your eyes peeled for similar changes coming soon.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about oddments again and rare item tokens. So they detailed what was going to happen with this last week, and as a result of that, this week on update arrival, 15,000 oddments were given to people who were affected, as well as 15 treasure hunter keys. And the limited and current rare items are now also all available in the oddments store.
There's the key, right?
Yeah.
That's the biggie, right? That changes this from... I mean, we wanted to look at it that way last week, right? But I don't think we had confirmation of the rare items themselves were actually migrating to the oddment store until this week. At least, I don't remember hearing it until this week.
I thought that it was, you know, just going to happen, but maybe it wasn't telegraphed.
Yeah, but with everything in there, and it being like an actual reasonable price for what, you know, oddments you got, then I feel a lot better about that update. You know, like I feel like this is exactly the direction where I was hoping would go to, you know, to move to a one kind of currency. And by keeping the items and just moving to that store, that's kind of exactly what it is.
Yeah, and the most expensive things that you can get in there, the magical rest animation, the magical carpet teleport, and the tea service rest. Everything else is below 1,000 oddments. So the springy pet, the balloon rest, the golden cane, the flaming head, leprechaun hat, banhammer, potion hat, and so on and so forth. Map hat. All of these things are less than 1,000 oddments. Some of them are even 250 oddments only.
I almost think that might make it more accessible.
It really does.
There's a lot of ways to get. Well, not a lot, but there are more ways to get oddments than there was rare tokens.
Yep. Yeah. Overall, I think this was a change that needed to be made, and you could argue about whether 15,000 is enough and 15 treasure hunter keys is enough for that, or if, you know, this should have just been told a few weeks before, kind of like they did with the free bank presets. And, you know, it all comes down to communicating this, right?
And yeah, I mean, that would have made a big difference. I think knowing that the items weren't going anywhere would have made a big difference.
And one of the very key aspects is to be able to have your gear down to the ground so you know when the train is coming. And what this means is that, you know, you should know when players are going to get upset about something like this. Or if there's going to be a gap of a week, that should also be explained outward to the players. And I think the most important thing to take away from this is that this was fixed within a week.
Yeah.
And there's probably some learning that can be done on Jagex's side, but when it comes down to the player side as well, we need to ask ourselves, are we better off today than we were last week with the rare item token store still existing? And I think the answer is a definite yes.
Oh, I agree. But yeah, you're right. Take these lessons, and when you go to, you know, hammer out the, take your pick, loyalty points, or what have you. Take the lessons from this, and don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah. And, you know, for what it's worth, I bought pretty much everything that I didn't already have in there. I think the only thing I missed and I probably didn't get was the springy pet, which of course is the rainbow slinky that follows you around.
See, I would really like to buy a lot of that stuff, but right now I've got to be an XP whore, and every odd mint must go to XP.
Because we do likely have a double XP weekend event, or a double XP live event coming at the end of February or early March, I'd bet.
Well, I bet, but until I see 120 herb lore and farming, I need all the bonus I can get.
You use cinder cores?
I mean, I've been saving them for, you know, on the occasion that I get them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's also available in the Oddman store as well. And, you know, just looking at this, the Oddman store is starting to look pretty good in terms of what's available.
Yeah, it's becoming, you know, the store that I was hoping for. And I mean, there's a few more currencies to wrangle, but I mean, overall, this is a good start. And, you know, if there is any complaints, maybe it's over the amounts.
The communication.
And the communication. And I think those things are fair. But like you said, we're in a better spot for it.
Yeah. So. Because from the pure economics perspective, if you have a bunch of coins sitting under your desk that you're not using and have no use, they have no value, no matter what you think. And that's what rare item tokens were before, despite what anybody says out there.
That is a very macro way to put of thinking about it, huh?
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up the patch notes then for this week. Upper left hover text is now disabled by default for new accounts. And this was an option that started with RuneScape 2 and quite honestly should have been turned off years ago by default. That's, you know, the text that appears in the top of your screen whenever you mouse over something. Because right now you just have it right in the center of your mouse. So, I mean, why do you need two?
I don't know, but I remember... Oh, yeah, I'm well aware of that text up there that I never knew freaking existed. It would be so hard in RuneScape 2 days to, like, because, you know, I'm magnified. I never knew when it was going off. It used to drive me crazy.
The fortune perk will now work correctly when smelting. That's good to know that that's been fixed. Mm-hmm. That's an important one. Fixed an error that was occurring when asking War to combine jellyfish on a free-to-play world. I wonder what would have happened with that. The Blingy Things archaeology collection will now show a green checkmark when complete, as all other collections do. hard emote clue scrolls can no longer be completed with the incorrect emote. The prodigal spender will no longer unlock before purchasing all the requisite unlocks. Not sure what that is, but all right. And fixed an issue where the URA quest was blocked for its progression on the mobile platform. And that's the patch notes for the week. Happy birthday, Ninja Team.
Hey, happy birthday, Ninjas.
And, you know, the Ninja Team actually had a very big presence this week because they were also on live stream this week. Mods Kalaya, KOC, and K9 with Mod Hooli hosting had a chance to, you know, look back at what the year of Ninja brought, and went over some of the strikes and some of the things that they took from all of this. And, you know, it was about a 50-minute live stream. Lots of interesting information came out of it. So, you know, give this one a watch if you want. But if not, you know, we have all the details here on this one right now. So starting off, they did some community housekeeping, and they relayed the very unfortunate news that Mod Porky has left Jagex in pursuit of new adventures. And, you know, I think I don't like commenting too much on the inside baseball stuff that happens. And Tanis, I'm sure you saw it, producer's chat last week. I had that feeling where I was like, oh crap, we forgot something. And I didn't remember what it was until we just finished the show. But I meant to give mention to this last week that JD also departed Jagex last week. And, you know, we'll just say that those two, Mod Porky and Mod JD, have done amazing things over the time that they were there in terms of managing the live streams for Mod Porky's side and JD's side, and for JD on his own hosting so many of the live streams as well, and doing social media things going back many, many years. He was actually one of the first JMods that I interacted with way back in the day when the fan site program started as well, and the whole social media thing started to kick off. So those two are going to leave some very big shoes to fill inside the community management and social media side at Jagex. And, you know, here we know how people can feel when it comes to the community management stuff. We've gone through some of those live streams before. I forget whose live stream it was that we really picked apart. It was probably one of these two's live stream that we
picked. It was JD and Mike.
It was the JD and Mike stream. Okay. I was trying to remember who was hosting that one, but that's when we had the ever infamous Mod Mike comment that I won't repeat here. But, you know, these guys, all of them, put themselves out there and they feel the fire of the community, so to speak. And that's one of the most important things about the community management side, I feel, is that you have to be able to not only react to what your players are saying, but also anticipate where they're going to go when something has itself made aware. And that's one of the things that these guys were able to do. And, you know, I'm going to give two big compliments on this. And, you know, looking back at Mod JD's tenure, he was a very professional host when it came to the live streams that they did. And that's not to say everybody else was bad, but you could tell that he almost had a background in doing this before. I don't know if he did, but it certainly feels that way. And, you know, when it comes to Mod Porky, I feel that he was the person who, in effect, took over from Mod Shawnee and bottled up that empathy that Mod Shawnee had and was able to carry that forward, and did a remarkable job of filling those big shoes too.
You know, that was exactly one of the points I wanted to make, because I feel like these guys they did kind of take over from Mod Shawnee at a time when, I mean, if those are big shoes to fill to begin with, and even worse than that, it's at a time when things are a little rocky, right? Like it's not the best when it comes to community relations at that particular point. We're coming off drought. There was some big, you know, bugs.
Incident. The MTX report in the news.
On top of all that, yeah. And these guys managed to pull together, and more importantly, pull the community together, and really get it in what I thought was a positive direction.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes down to it, as well, you have community managers who operate at arm's length, of course, and we've seen that in other games that we've been a part of. But you actually have community managers like the RuneScape community managers that actually go out within the community and become part of that, and that's a really good thing for them to be doing as well. And I think that this is something that these two did wonderfully as well. So I think they will be missed. And you know, once again, as the saying goes, they leave big shoes to be filled.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the way their approach. I appreciate getting in there. I don't even know how you can build community without being in there. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but in any case, we do want to talk about the ninjas this week because that was the whole point of the live stream. But that was just the housekeeping. That was done. Next Monday, we're getting a Valentine's Day themed quest, and the teaser that was put out on Wednesday shows that this is the two villains from last year's Easter event that were there as well. So we will have all the coverage of that with Quest Week next week. You know what that means?
Yeah, at least it's not slime.
No. You know what that means?
What's that?
Three mini quests or quests in a row here. Because we will have Relomia's, we have the turtle one, and then we're going to have this one next week.
Mm-hmm. And the one that you wouldn't call a mini quest.
Yeah, the cake one, a week and a bit before. So good fun. All right, so in terms of talking about this, how did the ninja team come around? And This came from one of Mod Warden's objectives when he joined, is that he was keen to set up another ninja team to build up on quality of life fixes. And with this, they set up the team and they started planning the fixes that they wanted to make with this. Now, the previous teams worked slightly differently and the goals are way different this time, focusing around a central theme and then backfilling in around that main theme. Of course, you know, you have things like the player-owned farm and Grand Exchange that immediately come to mind with that. And they also have, of course, the scattershot strikes. And a good portion of this live stream, if you are short on time of watching this one, was just a bit of a summary about what the ninja team has been up to for the past year and what exactly they stand for. So if you already know all that, you can probably play through that at 1.5 times XP, 1.5 times speed on this one. You can tell what mode my mind is in. Their current backlog of work that they can do has 3 years worth of content that they could build.
Holy cow.
And when it comes to the craziest requests and the biggest things that people have filled in, skill reworks, construction reworks.
That's not a ninja.
That's not a ninja. Guys. That's not a ninja update, no.
Yeah.
And
although it would improve my quality of life.
It certainly would, and I think that's why people think, hey, quality of life must be a ninja thing. The way they work is they agree first on a general strike theme, and then they build out around it. The scattershot strikes that they do, on the other hand, are built 8 weeks in advance, and they're what the players are really focused on, what they're hearing on social media, what they're hearing in the game, and they just do what they can in the time allotted. So, you know, what this means to all the players out there is that if you make enough noise about a certain thing or a certain quality of life thing that's just one little area, you know, you could attract the attention of the ninja team in that for one of their eight-week-long scattershot times. Now, here was the really interesting part for me. A ninja strike takes 4 weeks total for the dev and QA quality assurance time. And that's really short. when you're considering that it takes about 2 months to build a small RuneScape update. So this is half the time of a small update, and they're able to deliver quality of life fixes with that smaller amount of time. So what So what this means is that they would have, you know, sat down for some time period and talked about the Grand Exchange Ninja Strike and what they wanted to get done with that. And they would lay that out all out beforehand over the span of a number of meetings. Then later, over the span of 4 weeks, they would be able to build the changes and have them put out for quality assurance testing, and then ultimately get them out to the players at some point after that. So 4 weeks only for something like that. Which, when you consider some of the things that we've seen, you know, Shattered Worlds, to make those changes and take something that was bottom of the barrel content in terms of its usability and bring it up to something that's now a showcase for RuneScape 3, that's just astounding.
Yeah, I've always been a fan, and I mean, I can't say that they're not appreciated as much as they should be, because I actually think people do appreciate the Ninja Team. But it is remarkable, the speed. So that means that they're like, they're basically putting out content this month is what they worked on last month, and then just going forward like that.
Yeah.
How it works? Okay.
And, you know, they said that to get this done, they have a wide array of player types that are actually on the Ninja Team. They have casual players, hardcore players. They also have combat, and they have skillers, and they also have clue scroll players as well with that, who are actually, you know, RuneScape players who are also RuneScape developers as well. And, you know, that helps too, because if you have someone who's a hardcore RuneScape player, you can tell what you're going to want with that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Of course, I guess there's probably some good and bad in all.
Yeah,
but it sounds pretty balanced, and you know, that's good.
Now they gave an example that, you know, you have some things that come out like the tier 92 armor changes that they made last year, or the pet broadcast changes that came out this week, and a large portion of the work for both of these was already done previously by another team. But between that being worked on and the Ninja Team picking up the project and finishing it, there's a lot of other examples like this that come in where they need to merge the two work styles together and merge the work done between the Ninja Teams and other teams so that it can be put out in a format that is actually able to be shipped. So that was an interesting insight as well. When it came to the Lunar Spell book, they started this one off with a playthrough of the Lunar Spell content, wrote down notes on what could be improved, and, you know, that some spells were just, you know, flat out not useful anymore. And they even said that some spells are going to potentially be removed in the future. That's still on the backlog. That surprised me.
Yeah, they could just rip out the whole damn living farm for all we care.
I mean, you say that jokingly, but at the same time, there's also, you know, lots of content that depends on it. So I don't think that would be happening.
No.
Like, example of what I see is I see maybe the bake pie spell being removed, or the hunter kit spell being removed, because they would have analytics internally on how
one probably ever uses that.
Yeah. And it's just taking up a spot, and it's really kind of a dumb reward when you think about it. They started with ideas for 60 spells. They brought that down to 7. Released 4 of them, and 3 of them have been potentially handed off to other teams to be done as rewards in the future.
I would have liked to have seen what
some
where they didn't make it.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. But, you know, if you show those kind of things, then they become commitments.
Well, yeah, we'd be like, oh, we would have wanted that.
Right? So you really can't do that.
Yeah.
When you work with old code, sometimes things take longer than expected. The player-owned farm ninja strike was initially intended to be a scattershot strike, though with the amount of items they had for it and things they could fix it eventually shifted to become something that was themed. Now, here is an interesting comment by Mod Kayosi, who said that he plays lots of other games where if he was in a QA position for those games, he'd be complaining about this, this, and that. But when he plays RuneScape, he just hand waves it all away because he knows how to work with the user interface being a veteran RuneScape player. And I think we all do that to a degree, don't we?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
And this is an issue, and it's very good to know that they're actually aware of that because, you know, you've been playing RuneScape for years. You're going to work around that. Mm-hmm. But for somebody who's just coming in from Steam or mobile, they're not going to know what the hell's going on. So the upshot from this is that whenever they're doing a themed Ninja Strike, the team in general also looks at how they can improve the user experience around that piece of content for new players.
See, that's really good.
And the prime example they gave with this was the Grand Exchange changes.
That makes sense. Yeah, I could see that would have came into play. Yeah.
And, you know, they said, you know, they had this idea for what they wanted to do with the GE changes, but they only needed one thing from the engine team, and they were able to get it. And that enabled the Grand Exchange strike to happen. So, just a bit of a insight there on that. As part of the Ninja team ethos, the core ethos of the team is that they don't talk about what's coming next, which makes sense. Ninja, right? And at the same time, it's a surprise to players, and it's a lot more fulfilling in that way. And as for their favorite Ninja Strikes, Mod Kalaya's was the Grace of the Elves changes. Mod KOC liked the Tier 92 armor patches, and Mod K9 liked the clue scrolls and double XP changes. And now's the point where we get to dive into the discussion. What was your favorite Ninja Strike?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I'm torn.
All right, what are you torn between? Maybe I can help you.
Well, definitely the Grand Exchange was I think I'm going to go with the Grand Exchange. I think I'm going with Grand Exchange.
All right. I'm going to go with Shattered Worlds.
See, that's a good one, too. That might... No, those are probably the two best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to go with Shattered Worlds because before that, the content for me was just unplayable, right? And now it's actually something I want to do. So that's why that one is so big for me. And it's the first thing when you say Ninja Strike that comes to my mind.
Yeah, it definitely made it. I think that's when I finished off the abilities.
Right.
Not that I have ever used them, but I have them. Once they did that strike.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Then they had a video that was put together, an infographic video, about key stats of the Ninja team, and we'll just go through some of that right now. So let's see if they have sound associated with this. They didn't have sound associated with it on the live stream. Let's see if I got sound associated with this. Yeah, we do. All right, Ninja Strikes. 159 days the Ninja Dojo is open with 26,695 items and 19,503 unique visitors. The Dojo received 12,073 total submissions, averaging 75 per day, where March 2nd saw a huge record of 373 submissions, and the most requested thing was items 2,770 times. The Ninja team has put out 516 patch notes for 30 per strike, or alternatively 10 per week on average.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know,
pretty good.
I think it ultimately just sums up the amount of quality of life that was needed heading into 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So very important.
I think that's funny, too, that it jumps up in March when everyone's at home like, you know what, I think I want to write a letter to the dojo. You know what this game really needs?
The Ninja Dojo will return sooner rather than later. And they, of course, highlighted their mini quest that we've already talked about. And it wasn't initially going to be a quest. They quested for suitable areas, and then the themes appeared. And then everything they wanted to do was just scaled down, and they did a singular mini quest. So a bit of a background on what exactly happened with this week's fun little quest. I don't know. I enjoyed that. I'm kind of glad we had the ninja team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I like the structure, like the way that they do things now. Like, I mean, it's always been great. Like, quality of life stuff's always been a great thing when it comes to the ninja team. But it feels more impactful when they do a theme like that. It really does. It really makes... that's what I was talking about earlier on. It makes it feel like a legit update, even though it's a collection of quality of life fixes. But I think that is to do with the way that they do it now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to move on. We do have a question this week. But before we do that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for making this episode possible. If you're wondering what this is all about, just visit us at patreon.com/RSBNB. There's going to be a new monthly bit up there very soon talking about 20 years of RuneScape Part 2, covering 2011 through 2020. This was another fun one. It was really interesting, I think, taking a step back and looking at that decade and realizing just how the game has changed. And then you can really see when things just start to tick up in 2018, and things have been going in that direction ever since, which I'm very happy about. But
yeah, you know, I look back on it and it was strong.
It really was.
It
really was.
It was really strong.
And, you know, people always say, you know, 05 to 07 was a golden age, and I think we're living in one now. But, you know, you can hear more about that on this monthly bit. And, you know, that monthly bit was made possible by our Patreon supporters. And this week, I'd like to thank Andrew C., Arvids L., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Cook Me Plucks, Diana, Duramax, Guy LaFleur, Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jim M., Joe M., John P., Keski, Kevin G, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Melanoric, Nora, Pernasius, Rastafa, Ricky A, Ryan P, Samantha R, Soupfinder, Staubeve, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, Zachary K, and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It means the world to us. And as I mentioned, you can learn more about this at patreon.com/RSBNB. We do our monthly bit, which is our bonus show that's going to be going out this Friday. And last Saturday, we recorded our round table, and that's going to be up as well, the read back of it. Think of it as, you know, kind of an hour-long, unstructured version of RSBNB Update where we just chat. And, you know, those ones are also fun as well. And you can find all of this and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. For $1, you get a mention in our show notes and early access to those notes. And, of course, you help fund the cost for hosting a production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on the Discord server, and I mentioned at the podcast at the start of the month, as well as access to high-quality stereo versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And, you know, we are aiming towards that $500 a month category, where if we ever did get there for some absurd reason, you and I would subject ourselves to some pain with our throats with the Hot Ones challenge. We're not there yet, but you never
know.
And I think that's going to be a one-time offer. So unless we get other people who want to rotate out on that.
Well, then again, I mean, it's the first time that's going to be the hard time, right? I mean, after that, all your taste buds are burned off anyway, so you could probably I'd be fine.
Probably pull it off. All righty. Thank you so much, everyone. As I said, contributions mean the world to us.
Thanks.
All right. So, question from Gawky. And, you know, we don't normally get these questions, but we'll answer this. Why are you two so awesome? Really great job. The effort you put into your podcast is just top tier. Heart emoji. You ever been complimented like that?
No, I think Lady Gaga said it best. I was born this way. No, but for real, no. That's just awesome. That means the world to me. No. I can't say that I have.
I think when it comes down to it, you know, for me, I see doing these kind of videos as a two-way street approach, and I think more and more people are opening up to the approach that we take, and that is a community-first approach where everything, you know, is done as you being seen as an advocate for your listeners, for your community. And the other option, of course, is to, you know, just put out content that's informative and hope people like it enough and maybe have the odd interaction here and there. But one thing I really like doing is the interaction with the community side of thing. So I'm willing to bet that that's why many people would put us into that awesome category, is that we put the community first, as it should be. And, you know, I don't know if we have any agenda here aside for a better game for everyone.
Yeah, that's always, I mean, at the end of the day, that no matter what opinion we're expressing, yeah, that is always the end goal, right?
Yeah. And, like, I'm not trying to do it so that I'll have more XP per hour or more money making.
Right. I might do it for more XP per hour. I don't know.
Right. Because you see more XP per hour as a more positive thing, whereas I see, you know, going back a bit is the better way to go.
Right, right. But at the end of the day, we just want it to be healthy and to, you know, be sustainable. And, I mean, I think you're right. When it comes to, you know, creating a community and being together, especially in an MMO, I mean, that's kind of what we do, right? Like, you want to share that experience with people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot out there. There's a lot on offer when it comes to people making RuneScape-related content. And, you know, so many great things.
Right. And
I'm just appreciative they listen to us when they want to listen to a podcast.
Right. You know? And let me give you an example of something that I think is a differentiating factor between us and other Patreon creators that are out there, is that, you know, one of the things people monetize on Patreon is contact information and the ability to chat with the hosts. But we're very open about that. You know, we have a friends chat. We keep our private on. Gears is a little bit more difficult to respond to because of the way you play the game. But I always respond to my PMs when I get them. And that's something else I enjoy as well. Granted, yeah, we do have the round table every month, which is, you know, just a chatting discussion that's recorded. But at the same time, if a listener wants to, you know, talk about something that was on the show or talk about something RuneScape related, I'm not going to say no to that.
Oh, yeah. And while I don't always catch things like in RuneScape chat because of accessibility reasons, I do always catch my Discord eventually. Even if, I mean, it might take a couple hours, but I always catch it eventually because I do check my Discord.
Yeah. Continue. And, you know, it's a good point to mention this. The Discord is rsbnb.com/discord. You can join in. All your favorite hosts are there. We're there. You can chat in the RuneScape channel or, you know, just DM one of us. Tannis is in there. I'm in there. Perfectly good way of doing it. Or the friends chat. bits, bytes. And, you know, I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of is the community interaction that we do.
Yeah, I like mean, it's that. Fun. And I'm glad you mentioned the roundtables because those have actually been so much fun. And it's been great to have, you know, listeners come and be able to talk and just share, you know, share in this game that we, you know, been playing forever and love. And look at how many like cool things have come out from us being able to just talk. You know, we knew Rock Show was coming before it ever hit, you know? And we got hats off to our listeners and, you know, being able to.
Yeah. We predicted that even before Archaeology came out, you know, a couple months after Anachronia. I was there.
Oh, yeah, we got the best listeners. That's why. That's what I'm going.
Hell,
with.
One we month we even designed like a skilling boss.
Oh, I know. Remember, it was really good too. It was a really good design.
Yeah, and that's the round table. And I mean, if you want to have those discussions with us in Discord, you can do that too. It doesn't have to be at a round table. And, you know, I don't think anything is off the table. And that's one thing that I'm really proud of is that nothing is off the table here.
So. Yeah. Thank you. Shane will give it to you straight.
Thank you for the kind question, Gawky. Well, you know, you guys want to send your own in? Email us questions at rsvnb.com or leave us a DM on Twitter at rsvnb. And let's move on to pick of the week. We got two of them this week. What are you going with?
Well, mine might make me less awesome.
Oh, no.
We'll see. No, okay. So, this week I have a music pick. And this is someone that, you know, I mean, like a lot of music, it can be viewed as controversial to some. But I enjoy it because I think I'm always for somebody that can find the truth in each kind of side that is being presented. You know what I mean? Because it's very rare that it is all one thing. There's usually kernels of truth in both. And this week's pick is somebody that looks at that and picks that out and then draws attention to the absurdities that we are all guilty of doing. So my pick this week is Tom McDonald, Fake Woke. This is his latest song. If you're not familiar with Tom McDonald, like I said, he can be viewed, you know, quite controversially, but I respect him even
though. Do we need to have a language advisory on this pick of the week?
I listen to Fake Woke on YouTube. I don't think it's got bad language.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, I think the controversy comes from some of the concepts that he talks about.
Sure.
Not, you know, like the language. You know, and he, you know, I mean, Tom's got braids and tattoos and, I mean, face tattoos, you know, the whole nine. But I gotta respect someone that literally did not get signed to a record label, did it all on their own. I just have a lot of respect for somebody like that. He makes all of his own videos, writes his own songs. I think his girlfriend shoots the videos and like helps him produce them and stuff. Like it's like I said, I mean, I you got to respect that. So yeah, that's my pick of the week. Check it out. I guess I should tell you, like, it is rap, you know, cause I like all genres of music. I literally like all genres of music. So, this is, you know, this is, rap. I think he might even be Canadian, Shane.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Or at least maybe he's got one parent that is, one that's American. I don't know. Talks about a lot of American issues, though, so I'm not sure.
All righty.
Yep.
Sounds good.
What do you got for us, Shane?
Well, you know, I'm a Mac user. normally. But we do also have Windows as the dominant operating system out there. So Microsoft is actually good at publishing enhancements for Windows. These are things that might, you know, have made it into Windows at one point, but really aren't, you know, needed by everyone. So they put these off in their own segment, and they're called Power Toys. And this is a, there's a bunch of these that you can install. You can install, you know, whichever ones you might want. And there's a number of them here. Some might not be for you. Some you might actually decide you need. The first one they have is a color picker, and the idea behind this is good if you're into videos or you're a designer. You can use an eyedropper and pick up any color picker that's on the screen. Another one is Fancy Zones, which is a window manager that allows you to effectively save and position window layouts on your screen. It integrates into your control panel nicely. Another one is some add-ons for File Explorer that allow you to preview SVG, icon scalable vector graphics, and markdown file previews, which is a very concise way of writing and incorporating the formatting into it. Now, here's one that I use and champion all the time. It's the Image Resizer. You effectively right-click on any image, and it will allow you to resize it to a set size or your own custom size. And what's more, you can do a bulk image resize, so select an entire folder of images and it will resize them all. The use case I'm very familiar with on this one is resizing eBay photos down to a specific size.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought I'd you were asking if there'd be any here that would work for you, and I thought this is one that would work for you on that case.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay.
Another one is a keyboard manager that allows you to remap keys on your keyboard. So if you wanted to remap Control and Alt, or you want to play a joke on someone and remap their A and D keys, you can do that. There's a power renamer that allows you to rename multiple files and folders at the same time. It has previews for what it's going to result in. There's even an ability to undo the changes. And if you want to move on over to the dark side, there is regular expression support, which is a whole other topic in itself. If you don't know what that is, don't worry. Then we have the shortcut guide, which is just a guide of, you know, all the shortcuts that are available on your system that appears when you press down and hold the Windows key for more than 1 second. And then we have Power Toys Run, which is effectively a app launcher that is similar to the macOS Spotlight utility. And there's a few other experimental ones as well. One's called Video Conference Mute that allows you to mute both your microphone and camera by pressing a button when you're on a call. And this is experimental, so it might not work with everything that's out there. But these are all free and open source. And Power Toys is something that's been happening since Windows 95, and there's been various incarnations of it. You used to have to buy it in a box, and now, of course, they give them away for free. So there will be a link in the show notes to that at update.rsbnb.com. But it works on any modern version of Windows.
Very cool. I'm going to check out that picture resizer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And they're open source, too, so they're, you know, constantly updated. So if Microsoft ever abandons them, it'll be picked up by the community.
Nice.
All right, let's do some achievements this week. Starting off, we have Miss Alaska with 120 farming on February 3rd. Continuing on the 3rd, we have Rune Dragon with 99 agility, Silly Cat 98 with 99 agility and 99 hunter. On the 2nd, we have Dog Says FTW with 99 Archaeology, Luke PPP with 99 Smithing on the February 2nd, Rune Dragon again with 99 Archaeology also on the 2nd, Shiroshana with 120 Constitution, Silly Cat 98 with 99 Cooking, Underking with 120 Ranged on February 2nd.
Cool. Well, picking up from that on the first, Chaz 5100, got 99 archaeology. Nathan got 120 invention on the first. And what's this? Shane 12088 with 120 archaeology on the first.
Yep.
Nice. Congratulations, buddy. Nice. I guess that is the all we need now is me and Sirion, right, to catch the rest of the lore diggers. We're half and half. All right. Well, carrying on, Jag 3 Dagster got 99 summoning on the 31st, January 31st. Bowl Bazzard got 99 cooking on January 30th. Bow Bazzard with 99 archaeology on the 30th. Luck with 99 attack on the 30th. And 99 strength. Ryora. 99 hunter on January 30th. And Matt's 374 with 120 archaeology on January 28th.
Nicely done. So, yeah, you know, 120 archaeology happened, and, you know, it's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. I thought February 1st would be a good day to do it, and I don't feel bad about doing it because, you know, it's been such a good skill and such a run doing that. I really, really enjoyed it. I got 120 after finishing up, of course, at the Warforge Forge, of course, that 119 spot. And, you know, wrapping that all up, I have 77 completions of Red Rum 3 ready to turn in for Tetra Compass pieces. Yeah.
That'll be a lot of Chronotes, won't it?
Yeah, it will. It will. I'm already at 800,000. Be interesting to see what it goes up to. I also, of course, after that, went to Orthyn, because there's a dig site also, or an excavation site also at 120, with the Raksha Idol and Gold Bowl to complete the Dragonkin collections and complete that Golden City mystery to get the last 150 monolith power. So I did that. That was a fun one. I really enjoy Orthyn.
I can't wait to go back.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Going to be real good.
I think it's my favorite. It's just the materials from there are too expensive. I can't. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But following, you know, from that, I have I have 20 odd more completions of Zaros 4 to do because I have some leftovers from that site as well. And, you know, it's going to be some pylon batteries. It's probably not something I need to do, but I mean, hey, it's just XP in the bank, right? Might as well do that.
Might as well.
Then I'll, of course, have all those Tetra Compasses to do. And I have two Spear of Annihilations to complete as well. So archaeology is not done yet. Still got a ways to go.
So archaeology is pretty good, do you, Shane?
Yeah. But also this week, of course, I got the Mune, I think we were saying, pet. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the actual segment for that. There's actually a friends chat for this. It's just Mune space FC if you're wanting to find people who are spotting for that pet.
Okay.
So that'll probably be active for, you know, probably the next month or so until things start to die down with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also some spicy lore this month in the Effigy Incubator.
Okay. Well, need to get back there.
You want me to spoil that?
Hey, it ain't about me.
Okay.
It's about them.
Just mute your ears, everybody, for the next 30 seconds or so if you don't want to hear this. this month it was revealed that Vic and Thistas, or I don't know how the heck to pronounce that name, was looking into Carapax's experiments, and one of Carapax's failed experiments was his son, or himself, he learns. So, yeah, that was harsh. You learn that you're a failed experiment.
Wow. Well, that's nice. Jeez.
It's most of the lore up until now has been fairly soft hitting, but this one was like, whoa, that's harsh.
I mean, that's some Dragonkin for you, though, right? I mean, why would we ever think Carapax had a nurturing side?
Exactly. Exactly. But anyways, how about you?
Working on charges right now. I think I'm going to go kill something.
Oh.
I'm feeling the bug. I don't know why.
Araxor?
Feeling bugs. I was thinking more like Elite Dungeons.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, well, when we talked about it, when we were talking about it on the bit the other day, I was like, man, I really kind of want to do that. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, I have no power for any of my equipment. I'm going to have to go fix that. So I'm collecting energy right now.
Yeah, that's good. That's always a good thing to be doing. So, well, I believe that wraps this episode of RSBNB Update up. And, you know, we're always interested in seeing what we can do around here. And, you know, if you want to help us out, we do have a form that you can fill out. Just go to update.rsbnb.com/help if you want to help us. And I'll also include a link to that in the show notes. But, you know, if you've ever thought, oh, well, that sounds like a fun podcast, maybe I can guest on it. You know, just register your interest here. There's a checkbox for podcast guesting. There is also one for article writing on RSBNB Informer. We're also looking for people to maybe work on some graphics thumbnails or maybe promotional material at some point, or heck, even merchandise art if we ever get up to that point in our Patreon tiers. So if you are a graphics artist and you'd be interested in helping us out, there's a checkbox for that as well. Or if you just, do you think you might have some other skill set out there that would be useful for the podcast, there's an other field as well that you can fill out. So, you know, just fill that out, include your RuneScape name and where we can contact you, and, you know, we'll be in contact for people who fill that in. So update.rsbnb.com/help. And, you know, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that as well. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And there you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, Stitcher, even YouTube, anything really. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update.
See ya.